Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and I want to welcome you to the program today. Thank all of you who are joining us once again, and also we want to welcome those that might be first-time listeners. We really appreciate you folks tuning in and listening to the program, listening to this fine radio station. They've got some wonderful programs on this station, and I'm just tickled to death to be a part of it, and glad that you're a part of it, and you know, support the station, folks. They're good people, good station. They're preaching the gospel. Listen, I want to talk today about something, and I've talked about it before, but you know, it's something that I still get a lot of emails about and messages about, and it's, can a Christian lose salvation? And I know it's a very, very controversial subject, topic. There's a lot of people believe that you cannot lose your salvation. There's people that believe you can. I know Baptists believe that, and a lot of people hear it as once saved, always saved, or saved, excuse me, once saved, always saved, or eternal security, that type of thing. I certainly believe we have eternal security, no doubt in my mind, if we're followers of Christ. I do not believe that once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the Bible reports it to be gospel either. So I just want to, I'm going to just kind of read you some stuff and talk about some things, and just kind of give you my side of the story a little bit here about what I think. But anyway, is losing salvation possible? And, you know, I would say, well, you know, there's a common doctrine, like I said, called eternal security. It's also called, like I said, the once saved, always saved, which states that once a person is truly saved through repentance and faith in Jesus, which is Romans 10:9, by the way, his or her salvation can never be lost, no matter how badly or you know, how often that person sins after they've accepted salvation. But I would ask, you know, is this doctrine actually true? It's definitely worth everybody's time to diligently and prayerfully, folks, search the scriptures to see if this teaching is biblical sound. It's a very popular teaching, and if it's not true, then all the more we need to be listening. Salvation is at stake, folks. No, make no doubt about it. If you think that your salvation is made whole once you accept Christ, you never have to do anything. You can, you know, turn against God if you want to, and still you're going to heaven. Well, you know, that's you know, if that's not true, then naturally, you know, there's a lot at stake here. So, you know, the desire would be to seek the truth of God's word, even if it means throwing out preconceived views and denominational bias. And there's a lot of that out there, folks, and that's what we got to take a look, serious look at. I'd like to ask the Lord in prayer here that, dear Jesus, dear Father in heaven, show us the truth, Father, in your word. Not in our way and in our word, but in your written word, Father, show us the truth about this topic that is a real battlefront for a lot of people. And Lord, we would just ask that you would show us what the truth is, Lord. Let us to hear your word, not ours. And we ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name, Father God. Amen. So those, I want to say on the beginning here that proponents of the doctrine of eternal security often refer to verses, naturally, to prove their viewpoint, and they should. Anybody who's got a point of view about something that's biblical, you should be able to point to Scripture to back it up. So here's what they do, and here's what we're, and here's some of the verses that they use, and we're going to talk about these verses. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Of course, that's John 3:16. We've all heard that. We've all pretty much know that verse by heart, I believe. Also, let's see, in John 3:18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I, so far, I'm not disagreeing with any one of those verses. Them's all scripture, folks, and they're true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that's exactly right. That's in John 5:24. So remember that. That's also, if you hear his word and believeth on him that sent him, then, you're passed from death unto life. And that's truth. John 5:24. Romans 10:9-10, which I mentioned a little earlier, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, in these verses, we have a clear gospel message. There's no doubt about it. It's a very clear message. Excuse me. Jesus Christ, the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, is the Savior, and faith in him is salvation. That's exactly right. If we believe on Jesus as Lord and Savior at that moment, we have eternal life. But, now listen, I know, and that's where a lot of the once saved always people say, well, what do you mean, but? Well, because listen. Yes, it's true what that verse says, but now we have to ask the question, can a believer ever become an unbeliever? I agree wholeheartedly that all these verses tell you that if you believe on the Jesus, then you're a saved person. So, can a believer ever become an unbeliever? Well, if so, now listen, if so, the verses above that I read to you do not give any eternal security for a Christian who chooses to turn away from faith and reject Jesus, for then he or she would no longer be a believer. Now, that's if you can become an unbeliever. Furthermore, if a believer can fall away and become an unbeliever, now listen closely, folks, if a believer can fall away and become an unbeliever, we would expect to find numerous verses throughout Scripture warning Christians not to turn away from the faith. Doesn't that make sense? If you can fall away from the faith, you would think that the Bible would have a lot of Scriptures warning Christians not to turn away from the faith. Makes sense to me. Well, the shocker of that is, as a matter of fact, the Bible is chock full of such warnings from every New Testament author, if I'm not mistaken. Such an amazing coincidence, by the way. Now listen to me. It would make sense if the doctrine of eternal security is not entirely accurate. So, let's see what the Bible says with some biblical warnings. Now, keep in mind, these warnings, all of which were written to believers in Jesus, not to the unbelievers, but to those who believed on Jesus and were followers of Jesus. That's who these warnings were given to. So keep that in mind. Don't be discredited. Don't let anything be discredited by being out of context. These scriptures I'm about to read you were written to believers in Jesus. Okay? Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they, the Israelites, also lusted. Neither be you idolaters as were some of them. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's 1 Corinthians 10:6-12. Now listen to that. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So, Christians which are those he's talking to that think they stand are to take heed lest they fall into what? Well, lest they fall, just like the scripture said here, lest they fall into lust, fornication, and idolatry, etc., which result in condemnation and perdition, which is the opposite of salvation. That's in 1 Timothy 3, 6-7 and 6-9, Hebrews 4:11. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5:21. Listen to what it's saying. Listen closely. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. Now keep that in mind. Ye have received. And wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2. Paul made it clear here that if we don't hold firmly to the gospel, then we have believed in vain. He also said elsewhere that it was possible, now listen to me, it was possible for believers to receive God's grace in vain. Well, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1. So you cannot receive something. In other words, he's saying, what the verse is saying is that if you receive it, don't take it in vain, folks. You can turn it away, in other words. See, that's 2 Corinthians 6:1. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. That's Colossians 1:22-23. We will be presented holy before the Lord only, listen to it, only if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. There's more to come here, but listen to me. The Bible's making it clear as a bell so far that right there in Colossians 1:22-23, if you continue in the faith, if you continue, how can you, what happens if you don't continue in the faith? Well, he says, and don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Simple, isn't it? But we're not allowing it to be simple. We're fighting it. That's man. That's how man is. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 1:18-19. Some having put away their faith. You hear that? Note, now listen to me. Note that a person cannot shipwreck faith unless he first has faith, right? You can't shipwreck something you don't have. Paul just said plainly that a believer can reject faith and a good conscience, which only truly saved ones have, and become an unbeliever. Unbelievers will face God's wrath. Luke 12:46. You know that. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:1. What might happen if we let those things slip? Well, the writer of Hebrews continues, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:2-3. So, folks, there's a lot more to come here. We're going to have to continue on tomorrow with this. But we're going to continue tomorrow. We're going to follow through on this. There's just a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot more to cover. And we want to do this with the right vein, with the right understanding. And we're not putting down anybody who believes in this other once saved, always saved. But we want them to understand what the Bible truly says so that there's no confusion and no misunderstanding so that they may not be led astray. We're going to continue on tomorrow. God love each one of you. We know he loves you and we love you. We'll see you in the morning, folks. God bless you.